father of the gods. Summon the shadows of ages past, when the thread-spinning Norns ruled the fates of men. Hear of a princess vengeance quenched at the fiery gates of hell. A prince destined for Valhall. Hear me.
By his command, thousands gathered. Champions from all corners of the North rallied. With dreams of Valkyrie, to die sword in hand. To shimmer golden in one bold and final action, they charged forth. In this moment, their moment, they made still the chaos of war and silenced its drums. All their life, all its movement, became refined to a single point, and they became resolved. Such was the desire, the longing. It was only by Woden's mercy that the battle was brought to an end. The sons of the North, the sons of gods, had proven themselves once again, not only as warriors, but as men of purpose, who in their mastery of war had revealed the secrets of life itself. The warrior becomes complete because he unifies both body and mind. Once aligned, they become resolute. All movement has purpose. All thought meets active conclusion. The chaos of life becomes an elegant dance. He watches as leaf falls when bird takes flight, as water rushes when dam breaks. All movement becomes ordered to a fixed point. The warrior, in his mastery of his craft, makes certain his conclusion, that his fate is by his choice and his alone. In the modern age, distraction plagues the mind. Men become lost in an ocean of happenings when nothing really is. An endless stream of distractions present themselves before him, all demanding his attention, and with no intention of his own, they consume him whole. From one vice to another he falls, all the time clinging to his petty pleasures. He begins to fear himself. Even his own reflection becomes a source of shame. In his madness, the natural and the good all appear to dispossess him. Locked in a battle for self-preservation and pleasure, he becomes coward and self-serving. Nothing is his fault, as he becomes a victim of circumstance, hopeless and pathetic. Be followed by resolute action, and all action must be supported by unwavering thought. This is true for all life, not only that of the warrior. Just as he who brings his thoughts and actions in harmony begins to dance with life, a man who cannot will be dragged along by it. He will forever be pulled by its current, unsure of his fate. His every action will be punctuated by hesitation. His every thought will be overwhelmed by doubt. He will become lost in a whirling sea of chaos without hope. No matter how small, must obey its natural duties and believe in itself and actions enough to see them to their ultimate conclusion. A man that cannot will never see life in its most beautiful apparition. Nature itself will become his enemy. Unable to see her beauty, he will see his very existence as punishment and his life as a hopeless endeavor. Even if you find yourself lost at sea, seize control of your ship. The winds that torment fools are the very same that deliver the skilled home. A storm is safer when out in open sea than close to shore. Your life is yours. Go, believe, and be certain of your course.
We came to wreck everything and ruin your life. God sent us.
Let's talk about books for a moment. One of the most impactful ways you can support this show while expanding your own knowledge is by checking out our publishing sponsors. We've partnered with three exceptional publishers who share our commitment to bringing you literature that goes above and beyond the mainstream. Banned by Amazon, Antelope Hill Publishing, and Clemens and Blair. Each of these publishers offers a unique catalog of books, media, and materials that you simply won't find in traditional bookstores. Whether you're looking for historical perspectives, alternative viewpoints, or rare literary works, these sponsors might have what you need. Here's the best part. All three are offering our listeners a discount. Just visit bannedbyamazon.com, antelopehillpublishing.com, or clemensandblair.com and use code NNR at checkout. That's NNR for a discount on your order.
I dream of freedom, just me and my little machine gun. Born a free man, die a free man, even if that's on the run. I dream of freedom, just me and my little machine gun. Born a free man, die a free man, even if that's on the run. I dream of freedom. Just me and my little machine gun. Born a free man, die a free man, even if that's on the run. I dream of freedom. Just me and my little machine gun. Born a free man, die a free man, even if that's on the run. I dream of freedom. Just me and my freedom, just me and my little machine gun. Born a free man, die a free man, even if that's on the run.
Welcome to Night Nation Review. Nightly at 10 p.m. Available only at nightnation.live.
All right. Welcome. Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome. I am joined tonight by Ben from the Ohio Nationalist Network. Welcome, Ben. How are you doing, sir? And please, let's start by just maybe you can give us, whoa, that overlay. Sorry about that. Maybe you could give us some insight into your group. Maybe just introduce us to it.
Yeah. So the Ohio Nationalist Network, formerly the Ohio Active Club, we're a NatSoc WN group in Ohio. We focus on Ohio specifically, one, because I cannot manage a national group. I cannot imagine doing that in an efficient way. That's not something I feel like I could handle, but I feel like I could handle, you know, our state. And I think it's important to really focus locally. You know, there's only so much I can do for someone in Arkansas or Delaware or, you know, Idaho, as much as I like, Idaho's like, and so is Arkansas, you know, beautiful. I can't do too much for them, but, you know, the people near me, I can handle, I can assist them. And you know what? I can make a 4-hour drive to help somebody. I can make a 4-hour drive to train with somebody. I can justify that. You know, it's, you know, our goal, I guess, would be to make as many, NatSox, as many WNs as we can in Ohio, and just bring our ideas to the forefront, normalize it. That's really the main work we're trying to do, is to, you know, assist our people in material ways, in concrete ways, and, you know, spread the ideas, normalize them, take the barbed wire off of them. You know, for a lot of the work we have to do is taking off the barbed wire from our ideas that the Jews have put on, but that we've also put on. We don't help ourselves a lot. A lot of people really like to be as edgy as possible online, and do a lot of these marches and other like actions that kind of just make us look unhinged. And, you know, our goal is to make ourselves look as normal as possible without cucking on the message. You know, we don't want to cuck on the message. You can't do that. You can't compromise. You know, there's a fine line between, you know, telling the truth and being a spurg, and you don't want to.
So, no, well said. Well said. Yeah. I think that's, I like that depiction. I think that is very important. It's to normalize this stuff and make people understand that the people who are advocating our points of view and our politics are not crazy, unhinged sociopaths like the Hollywood Jewish representation of this stuff is. I think that's incredibly important. And I like to see average normal men and women, you know, going out and presenting this stuff to the world in a way that is palatable. I'd say you guys do that. You know, Nova does too. I know you guys work with them, and it's kind of how I ran into you guys in the first place. But I like that. I really like that. I think it's very approachable. Any of these guys holding a sign here, I feel like I could walk up to them and have a discussion about the issue.
You know, yeah, it's because we're not wearing masks, and you know, there's not a lot of us. Like there were. We had one guy taking pictures, I guess. It was under 10 people, but I feel like that is more effective than having, you know, 50 people standing or marching somewhere with masks on, because you can't, like, what are you going to do with that? Like, look at it. You can't engage with it. You can't talk with that. You know, when you wear a mask, and it's not the dunk on people that are not in a position where they can get doxxed. That's not what I'm trying to do. And I don't want anyone to take it that way. But when you wear a mask, you are enforcing, unfortunately, the taboo of your own beliefs. It's unfortunate, but that is what you end up doing. And when you just speak the truth, man, it's powerful. And that demo rocked. That was so much fun. We had people driving by screaming, fuck the Jews, like multiple times. We had carfuls of young girls like driving by and honking. And like there's no Zionism. There is no like, there's no like let's use a euphemism of Zionism for our talking points. All of our signs say Jew.
Oh.
Like what you're talking about, there is no confusion. None of our signs said Israel or Zionism. There were no euphemisms. We were talking about Jewish power, and people fucking loved it. We had a guy that drove by, and he was like, he was a 1.0 guy. Mm-hmm. He was a little older, and he was like, 14 words, 14 words. Like, he knew what was up. We had some people throwing Romans. We had some Antifa that were like filming us across the street, I think. I don't know if they were Antifa or whatever, but they were just filming us for like half an hour, and it was just like, all right, whatever. Very few people that flipped us off. The two groups of people Okay, so several things about the demographic of this specific demo. 80% of the positive reactions were from young women. Wow. Like our women are based. We need to lead them. That is the biggest fuck up of this movement, is associating ourselves with incel retardation.
Yes.
Women know what's up, but they're going to, they can't defend themselves. They're going to follow whatever is they know. But if you're being a pussy, that means you can't defend them. That means they can't speak their mind because they can't defend themselves. So we had a ton of support from women. And that's not the first time that that has happened. We did a demo last year for Irina Zarutska, the woman who was killed by that fucking awful nigger. And that got a lot of support from women. Our women are based. They just need leadership. And anyone that says otherwise is a retard or a Jew. Straight up. But the other demographic that was noteworthy was the opposition. The opposition was all boomer men and fat women. Antifa was fat women and all these. It was actually very disappointing. The number of working class white men who were like, fuck Iran. Like this stupid jingoistic, CIA programming is just driven into their heads, and it's totally reactionary. That's another thing I really wish our movement would get away from, the reactionary stuff. Like, just think about it. Like, you can take issues and think about them without you can take issues as what they are. You don't have to roll with some, pre-prescribed idea, I guess, even if it's one of ours. I think it's important to understand you can be wrong, and that's okay. Okay to be wrong, actually. But that was the two big demographics of opposition were boomer men and fat women. Everyone else was cool. There were some non-whites in that area. They didn't give a shit. They don't care half the time. I mean, when we did that Irina Zarutska demo, it was I was holding a sign that said "Stop anti-white violence," and black people will honk. And I don't think it's because they're in support of that. I think it's because they just like honking. But generally, they don't care that much.
I think you're onto several things here that's really important. The first one that is most important is what you said first. Our women are based, and they need permission to be able to do this. Permission in the sense that they need to feel that it's safe. They need to feel that we, the men, will defend them while they speak their mind. That is a critical point. And I think also the other aspect of that is what you also said, this affiliation with the online incel retard shit, this sort of Graper-branded garbage, this does us no favors. This stuff is anti-white nationalist. There's nothing 14 words about, this sort of incel creep thing. No, that does not compute, So I think that's critical. Sorry, go ahead.
Fuck Groypers so bad. I have met with them IRL, in good faith. Fuck those people. Yeah. They're scum. They will rat you out so quick. They are all they want is power, and they have no principles. I have watched them with no irony. Defend Epstein. And it's just like, you people have zero principles. And, I think, I don't know, maybe that's just like people that affiliate with the Republicans in general kind of just have no principles, but they have no principles. Like, I thought the whole point of this thing, especially from the 2016 era, was we were fighting Jewish pedophiles, and then it's now you're defending them. Where did that come from? That blew my mind. But I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. It's a good point. And honestly, I largely agree. I think that this thing that you're describing that they did there, this whole pro Epstein thing, this kind of lends a lot of credibility to the theory that people have had for a long time. The entire Groyper thing is some kind of stood up controlled opposition thing, especially the amount of size this thing has been allowed to grow. the amount of platforms it's been given, like large platforms. And, you know, there is some sort of thing here in the same way that, like, largely, you know, for a long time, there have been these sort of false white nationalist or NatSoc kind of movements that have been stood up in the past. And they've been stood up often by Jews. So to make it look bad on purpose. I think that's a you know, that's a thing that they absolutely could be doing with this Gripper thing. I mean, what is more repulsive than that? To like tell the young men to go be, you know, incel weirdos. And you're right. They're very Machiavellian, weirdo, creepy. And yeah, no principles. Power hungry. Accurate.
Well, I mean, look, what do you expect from like people that worship a gay Mexican?
Right.
Like, it's like, really, when you think about it, it should be expected. And I'm an idiot for thinking otherwise. But I don't know. That engagement did not last long. I did not put up with that.
Good.
Yeah. Tried to have an open dialogue and, you know, work with people that might be, you know, a little different. Turns out that's actually retarded. My apologies.
Well, I mean, man, you know, you're just being incredibly white. That's all, you know. In a high trust society, you should be able to do that.
Yeah. But there was something else I was going to say to that. I totally forgot what it was, though. Maybe it was just calling Nick gay and Mexican. But who knows?
Well, you know, on that note, there is something weird about this sort of Hispanic white nationalism. Like, I've seen a lot of this, like a lot, like a notable number of this.
If they want to do that, fine, but do it in Mexico.
Right. Right.
I don't like. Okay, cool, dude. If I'm not gonna gatekeep Hitler, like,
sure, yeah,
just like keep it in Mexico.
Right.
Like, there's like, serious. Like, I have no, like, dude, if you're like Mexican or like half Mexican, like, and you like Hitler, that's fucking tight. But like, do that in, you know, Mexico. I don't know a specific Mexican city outside of like Juarez, Tijuana, and like other shit. But like. Yeah. Yeah, go do that in Mexico, dude. I mean,
right. What do you think it's about?
We have more freedom down there, actually. Like, you can do wild shit in Mexico and get away with it. Why don't, like, seriously, go, you're Mexican, go to Mexico and do Mexican Nazism.
Yeah, yeah. Do they even have an ADL in Mexico or some shit like that? I don't think they even do.
I mean, their president is Jewish, right. Klein, Sheinbaum.
John Bomb,
but like, there's so much lawlessness there that like you can do a lot of shit and get away with it, you know, as long as you don't cross the wrong people.
Totally, yeah.
You could probably build a NatSoc community in Mexico if you were Mexican. I would imagine that would be like a thing that you could do, which, like, frankly, that's none of my business, and I don't care that much, and I'm not going to give them that much more attention because I don't really care that much, but. Yeah, if you're like half Mexican or Mexican and you like Hitler, cool. Please go do Hitler in Mexico.
Well, but part of the problem I see with it is an issue of, well, two things, representation, and two is if you have a secondary identity like that, you can always opt out, right? There's that well-known clip where has like some kind of cop showing up at his place or something, and they're like, are you a white supremacist or some shit? And he's like, oh, no, Fuentes, I'm a Mexican. It's like, you know, was he just saying that to get out of the situation? I'm sure. Fine. Okay. But at the same time, like, none of us have that out. We can't play the Mexican card. You know, we're just white people. And nor would I want to. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's always a representational issue if this person that's supposed to be, like, this leader could always opt out and become something else in any given moment.
You could always just do what I do and tell people you're Puerto Rican. Even though it's like clearly not
right,
like that's like a hobby of mine is telling people I'm Puerto Rican and they're like, no, you're not. It's like, okay, well, like, I'm like, I'm half, and they're like, okay, what's the other half? And I was like, Cuban. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up. But like, yeah, dude, like, you know, my skin's my uniform. Yeah. I can't get rid of it. Yeah, you know, if you're mixed and you're white passing, you're a dual citizen kind of. And that's not the shit on those people. They didn't make that decision. But, you know, you guys do have an out, sort of. And, you know, if you're doing that, if you're good faith, you know, it's all whatever, you know, cool. But I think a lot of those people need to either, well, you know, they just do need to just go back to wherever their non-white side is from and do cool shit over there.
Right.
You know, if you're a Peruvian Hitler fan, go turn Peru into the Peruvian Third Reich. And then that gives us allies when things collapse here and we need international allies to do trade with.
Well, that's important anyway. I mean, I know you're being kind of a little bit facetious, but the thing is, like,
we actually need
this, though, right? Because, like, the solution here needs to be global. You know, that's part of the biggest reason why it didn't permanently work out during World War II is because, you know, whenever it was, you know, Germany, you know, rose up, but, you know, all these other places are still not, and they can still rally the entire world to come in and squash this one rebellious country. As long as there is an international Jewish power structure, it can move in from outside upon the one rebelling place. If this rebellion is global, then there is no way to really do that. There is no outside base from which to launch attacks upon the rebels.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with anything you said there. I thought I had something else. Like I said, dude, I'm smoked. Sorry.
No worries. No worries. I'll say this to the audience too. You know, we're both fairly tired. He worked a full day. I'm pretty tired too. And I will say we might not make this a very long episode, but that's okay. But with that in mind, let's kind of try to see if we can take it back into, you know, Ohio Nationalist Network. What's your aspirations? You know, you were mentioning doing food drives. I know that NJP did that. I know Nova does it. So you guys do it. So what's been the reaction to that? Because I know it builds a lot of goodwill, and it's just a good thing to do. What else are you guys up to?
Yeah, well, like, first and foremost, we're doing it because it is the right thing to do, yeah, and because it's actually needed. Like, damn, I didn't realize how bad it was. But man, it's rough in the rural areas of Ohio. We have been gutted of industry. We've been gutted of industry, and there's not a lot of an economy. And we are starting to get non-whites in those areas. You know, I go out to, you know, the southern part of the state, and it's mostly white. It's like 2000s demographics, but you'll still see blacks, and you'll see, you know, some of the companies out here, rather out there, that, you know, hire Mexicans or Guatemalans for roofing and mm-hmm. other construction stuff. And, you know, it's a problem. And, you know, the real work that we have to do is, once we establish a little bit of goodwill, which we're starting to do, is if you're in those areas, and you guys can apply this wherever you're at, like, the messaging needs to be, do not, especially if you're in a rural area, if you're in the city, it doesn't really work. The cities are basically, I don't want to say they're done, because they're not done. We will take them back. But as of right now, I think the most important thing to do is to hold the territories that we have. And you do that by not giving non-whites economic leverage. So if mm-hmm. someone is hiring immigrants, you call ICE, which I don't, I have my thoughts on ICE, but you call them, post on their Facebook page, don't go with these people, give them 1-star reviews, call them, tell them, like, they're pieces of shit for hiring immigrants, you know, keep everything legal. But that is, like, the first step to guarding your community, is keeping the economics white and keeping these fucking invading criminals out of your communities. Because some people are like, oh, well, you know, they're just doing work, they'll leave. It's like, no, they'll rent an apartment out there, and then they'll rape someone. Straight up.
Absolutely. Like,
it happens. And, you know, none of our people deserve that. So, you know, do your part. You know, leave the 1-star. It feels petty, and it feels kind of useless. It's not useless. Because that's what Antifa does to us. And it gets people fired. So, yep. Which it doesn't really is anymore. Like, it doesn't, unless you're in, like, an office job, no one gives a shit. Right. But, and even most office places don't give a shit anymore. You have to be like a Fortune 500 company for them to really care at this point. Right. So, yeah, that's really whatever. but it does work. It feels petty, but it does work, and it's a good first step. These areas in the southern part of our state, that's kind of where we're focusing right now. Eventually we'll make our way out to the like northern parts therefore, but right now we're focusing on Appalachian Ohio, so to speak. And yeah, those areas were specifically targeted with opioids back in the 2010s and late aughts. They were devastated. I mean, my friends knew people that would drive 2 hours to Portsmouth to get cheap pills and resell them. I was never doing any of that. Those people weren't doing that, but they knew people that would. Right. And, it was specifically because it was a very white part of the state. I would have loved to have been able to see it in like the 80s or 90s before NAFTA gutted it and before all the pills came in. It's still a beautiful part of our state, but there's just so much like so many abandoned buildings, so many homes that are just like they'll have like a hole in like a brick wall and it'll be falling down. There's so much dilapidation. It is still a very white part, but they've really done their best to nerf us, and it's disheartening to see up close. Like we had somebody the first time we did a grocery drive. We had a woman who had 3 kids in her car, and she was like, "Hey, I didn't want to take anything, but we are out of food for the rest of the month." And I was like, "Okay, we'll take whatever you need." And she got out of her car, and I was like, "Oh, you don't have 3 kids, you have 4, because she was pregnant. And we gave her some groceries, and she was bawling. And it hit me, man. It was just like, geez, dude, that could have been like my sister. That could have been, frankly, it probably was like my grandma was brutally poor when she was raising my mom. Both my parents were actually brutally poor. Like my dad, his mom was schizophrenic. And his dad was like a brutal alcoholic. Like he was an alcoholic's alcoholic. Like he didn't eat for like 3 days. Like that wasn't an uncommon thing for him. And that also really got me when I was a kid. Like that, like the whole like white privilege. Like when I heard that, I just thought of my parents, like all the abuse, all the poverty, and they worked themselves to get out of it.
Right.
And, I didn't have the tools to think my way out of that stuff. It always rubbed me wrong, and in a way I kind of believe in white privilege now, probably not the way that they want me to. I think it's a privilege to be white, but
right,
not in the same way, so
a different sense than they mean it. It's true though, right? Like when they say stuff like that, they're always thinking of like the urbanite and the people who are the top, I don't know, 10-20% of whites. They're not thinking of the bottom 25% of whites who are just as struggling as any other racial group. And I mean, in certain places, in a lot of the Rust Belt in Appalachia, like there is some rough life out there. There are people that are on the edge of survival a lot of times. That's never accounted for, and that's never spoken to. And there's no what a pretty cat.
Yeah, he's all white.
He's very supreme.
He's stupid as a nigga. Love him. Nice. Down, but he's too
nice. You have an all white cat. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's got monochromia. Like, here's our other one.
Oh, it's like a tabby.
Yeah, she's goofy, but
that's cool. That's cool.
But West Virginia takes the cake. Like we do have it. Like there are rough spots in Ohio, but West Virginia, when we went to Nova took the lead on this, but we went out to help. We went out to McDowell County when there was a flood that way that was not published at all. That was brutal poverty. That was like actual third world. Like the way that our people are living over there is unacceptable. It's Is this video of McDowell? It looks like...
This says fading Appalachian Rust Belt towns along the Ohio River.
Okay.
Looking for it.
Looks vaguely familiar.
Oh, Steubenville.
Yeah, Steubenville is an interesting place. I haven't been there, but I knew some people from there, and there's a big Catholic community there, so... I have some friends out that way, but not a whole lot, but...
Appalachia has some pretty cool like old architecture and stuff there, you know, that really does scream, you know, white people in our history. It is too bad that it's gone, you know, kind of into disrepair and all this. Hopefully we do see a time when we are able to recapture it, restore it, and make it, you know, a sort of centerpiece once again, and build new things that are also impressive and not brutalist and ugly. But well, you know,
it's on us. Like, it's on us to make that happen. So, you know, boo.
Oh, boo. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
I don't like the South. Like, I actually hate Confederate aesthetics personally, but like, fuck Abraham Lincoln. Like, that dude's a piece of shit. Yeah. And so was like everyone that like was involved with the North.
Yeah. It was pretty ugly stuff there. Absolutely. Yeah. They were doing an invasion.
I am a northerner to my core. Like, I do not particularly, like, I love my southern white brothers, but I do not especially get along with them. I don't know. It weirds me out. It's like, you're too nice. You're trying to lure me into your basement or some shit. It's like, why can't you be standoffish like everyone else?
There is definitely a difference of attitude and disposition for sure. So what do you guys think about the idea of having groups start businesses? I've seen this as a development in certain, I think it was the activist groups or active clubs or whatever, but let's call them activist groups that are sort of venturing out into collectively starting business ventures and stuff, you know, with the intention, of course, of building them successful enough that eventually they lead to this kind of stuff, being able to do what you're saying of like, you know, taking back this stuff, restoring it, you know, building new things that are actually representative of our people and their folk spirit. Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, it's absolutely possible. Uh-huh. I think, now I am not a capitalist by any means, but we are in a capitalist system and we need to understand that and work in it benefit of our people. And if you can start a business and, you know, hire our people and you know, key point being donating and funding things, like, actually, like, I've met a lot of people that are like, I want to fund the movement, and then it's like, okay, dude, could you help me out with this? And it's like, no.
Right.
It's just right. Okay, like you guys, like, a lot of the people that say they want to fund things, and this is not to say that we can't do this. Like, it should be done. It needs to be done. We need capital in this movement really bad. We don't need near as much as Jews need, because we're not trying to convince people that men can be women and vice versa, and that, like, blacks are super cool. Like, we don't need billions and billions of dollars. Like, we need a fraction of what they have, because we have the truth on our side.
Absolutely.
But that being said, we do need money. And we do need resources. But, you know, a lot of the guys that are, this person is driving right into a do not enter sign on this video. sorry, my ADD is kicking in.
No, maybe I should take that off. It is distracting. Yeah.
But with a lot of those people, I've noticed that, you know, I want to fund the movement kind of translates to, I want to make a lot of money and be left alone. And because a lot of those people don't join groups, and it's like, well, if you want to fund the movement, you have to be like involved, you have to know people. And it's just like, what is your plan to like fund like a candidate for like the Republicans who are like, they're like kind of based, or I don't know. It's like, when I ask them the details, there's nothing there, you know what I mean? It's just it's weird.
it seems like a way to be to gain that they're imagining that they can gain a lot of influence and a lot of respect and I guess almost clout within the movement and these efforts if they are able to, you know, bring the capital. The problem is it's a very hands off mentality. Like you said, be part of it, you know?
Yeah, well, like, sure, I'll give you all that shit if you actually follow through. But there's very few people who do. Because we do need the money. We need lawyers. We need, frankly, we should have paid activists. Antifa has paid, almost tons of paid activists. Why don't we have paid activists? And it's because people don't want to put in the money. Like, there's a few guys, we have some people in our org that are helping me, fund the grocery drives. We have people that are helping out with that. But Antifa can do all kinds. They can bring 200 people on a bus. Like, guys, do you know the logistics that it takes, the money that it takes to make that happen?
Right.
It's insane. Like, that's a lot of money.
Do you think it's a matter of are people not having pro-white millionaires and billionaires, or is it a matter of people just that are that not caring enough or thinking that there's value enough in funding the activist efforts?
Yes and yes. And part of that is on the act. I will say that part of that is on the activists. A lot of WN activism has been sort of useless, unfortunately. And so I can't blame someone for being like, I'm not going to give you money to march and annoy people. If I had 500 guys or 1,000 guys, I'd do a march. Until we get to that point, I don't see the point. It's just meh to me. But, I do think there needs to be we need to step up the activism and be, I don't want to say more utilitarian, but have some actual this is something that makes people aware of the issues, gives people the talking points that they need to, have conversations with people and, articulate themselves. And give them reassurance and confidence. I think if we have activists that are doing work like that, then we'll see more of the funding stuff. But there are good groups out there, Nova being one of them, that if you're someone with wealth, you should consider aiding them because they are doing cool stuff. And, they don't always advertise all the stuff that they're doing. I don't advertise all the stuff that we do. We do stuff multiple times a week. I don't do photo ops for all of our stuff. If I did, I'd be I don't know. I'd be posting shit 4 days a week and you guys would be bored. And maybe you guys are already bored with our Telegram, but we're very active. So I don't make it if we're doing an action like that one. Yeah, I get pictures, but I don't know. I try not to make things too media focused. Media is needed, but I don't want things to be a cult of personality around me or anything like that. I never want that to happen. That's weird. And that's a distinction that I've noticed between the European scene and America. People in America, like we might know Golden Dawn or Casa Pound, or Der Vig in Germany, or maybe Patriotic Alternative. But in America, people know, they know groups, they know PF and BT, but they also know Thomas and Hammer. And it's sort of more focused on the leader. It's a little bit more, I don't want to call it egocentric, but it is just more egocentric. It is more focused on the leader. And that's no shade to Hammer or anything like that. Hammer's actually been very nice to me, but it's a distinction. It's a distinction that I think bears a closer examination of why also that European groups are also party-based. The Golden Dawn was a party. Casa Pound's a party. Patriotic Alternative isn't a party, but they're trying to get to that point. there are no American groups outside of the American Freedom Party that are parties. And, you know, maybe that's a step that we need to start working towards. I know, you know, people in America are very nihilistic. Like, yeah, there's no point in working outside of the Republican Democrat dichotomy. It's like, well, hold on, because in 15 to 20 years, the boomers are going to be dead.
Yeah.
And who makes up the Republican base? White people. Boomers are almost half of our population. So when they're gone, we're majority non-white.
Oh yeah, so, yeah. Like this. Just yeah, a total drop
off a fucking cliff.
Yep.
So how are the Republicans like a viable option in 10, 15 years? I don't think they are. I think that's absurd. That's like putting stocks or like buying stock right before the collapse in like 2008-07. Yeah. You know, you want to be, I think we need to work towards a party of some, like a serious party of some kind. And it would be super blackpilling for like the first 5 years. And that's what the AfD in Germany went through. But now they're like one of the biggest parties in Germany. You know, a big thing that gets on my nerves is people in this movement hit roadblocks and they're like, oh, well, I guess that's it. And it's like, really? Like, that's it? Like, dude, do you guys know like what's going to happen if we don't take things seriously?
Right.
Because I've been the only white kid in an all black high school. I mean, frankly, I got lucky. But like, dude, we will become South Africa. Like, yeah. Do you want that? Like, dude, how many hours a week are you putting into white power? How many hours a week are you putting into white political power? If it's less than one, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, you can't put 1 hour a week into white power.
Right.
You can't do that? Well, I know guys that have five kids and they work two jobs and they still make it happen. They'll still come to events. They'll still come to demos. You can't make that happen. I know we have a ton of kids out there that are young and they don't have families yet, and they should make families, and that should be the focus. But like, what are you guys doing? Like, we are like I'm a millennial. Mm-hmm. I assume you're a millennial as well, right?
Yeah, same.
Dude, we have to own it. We kind of failed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't fail, but our role's different now. Our role is different now. Now our role is going to be educating the younger generation, the Zoomers and the Gen Alpha, so that they can win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be too old for the fight. Like, I'm 31. Like, dude, I'll be like 40, 50, 60. I'm not going to be able to, you know, be out doing that kind of what the stuff that was happening in like 2020 with like the Proud Boys fighting with Antifa. Like, we're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to participate in that way. We're going to have a more administrative role. And it's because we didn't put enough effort in, and we have to own it. And we can repent of that by putting a shit ton of work in. And I mean, it's not that there weren't people that did work really hard. There were, and I know a lot of them. But as a generation, you know, do we want to be boomers?
Right.
I don't want to be a boomer. Okay. I think that's fate's worse than death, being a boomer. Like, think about that. Like, your kids ask you in 10 years or on your deathbed, you know, what did you do? Did you try at least? And then like, no, I just kind of scroll Telegram and Twitter. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'd rather be dead. I'd rather get shot or ran over or some brutal death than have, you know, my kids, one, live in that world and have them ask me that. I can't, that is a fate worse than death. And I think there's a lot of people out there that really need to think about that. It can't happen to me. Like, no, it will happen to you if you don't act.
Yeah.
And I'm not even asking anyone to do any, I'm not asking anyone to do anything illegal. Don't do anything illegal. But get involved. You know, what, you get doxxed? Okay. Dude, I know so many people that have been doxxed, and you know what? Life goes on. And it's not that it doesn't sting sometimes, but you can always, it's triumph of the will. Like, you can push through. You have, I know all these, I know so many solid people in this, and I see all the potential they have, and they don't see it because they've been beat down by this Jewish system. And if they realized a quarter of the potential that they had, we'd win tomorrow.
Absolutely. We'd win tomorrow. Well, fortunately, the fear of doxing thing is not as
going away.
Strong. Yeah, yeah, it's done pretty much. Yeah.
Rightfully so, but it's still, people are kind of stuck. It's still stuck in like 2018. They're still stuck in the post-Charlottesville era, and like the, because a lot of people, I don't know, they got offline and then they didn't. I don't know. People are weird. People are fickle.
Oh, it's true. I mean, you make a good point about that. Like, it's really worse. It is a fate worse than death. I mean, what is waiting for all of us? You mentioned when the boomers go. I think that's a good way to think of it. I think people don't, they're thinking about the future as if it's going to be like it is now. And the problem is, it definitely isn't. It's going to be very, very different. And fundamentally, they're not getting how like urgent it is, because they're still thinking that, like, in, you know, 2040, it's going to be like it is now in 2026. And it's absolutely not. It's going to be, first of all, very brown, probably, even unless we get our shit together and figure out some way to fix that. And, you know, it's going to be a thing where the technology is going to be concentrated in the hands of basically oligarchs, you know, and they're not going to want to let us do anything. And we're not going to be in a position to fight back if we don't prepare ourselves on several levels for what this is. It's not beyond us to prepare ourselves for this battle and this fight and what it means, but it is everything. If we don't, the alternative is to be serfs that are hated and blamed in a country where, like, it will be majority non-white, and eventually they'll even move to changing the language, and they won't even, you know, they'll have a Spanish or some other, you know. They'll alter your country so much that you won't even recognize it. And then, you know, that's just to speak of that. On the racial aspect, I mean, we'll continue down the same pathway. We're at negative replacement rates. We're not even at replacement rates. We're at negative. So we got a lot to do here. It's not enough, though, just to like get in a breeding competition with the R-Select Browns. We have to also plug the hole in the sinking ship, right? Because it's not enough. Even if we have a lot of kids, there's still this problem. As long as the floodgates are open, they're going to keep pouring in, and no matter how fast we have kids, it's not going to be enough. We can't be in this breeding race. We need to be able to plug the hole and start our replacement of our own, with our own.
So, thinking exercise I want everyone to do. I want you to drive around for an hour in the nearest metropolitan area. You know, you can drive in the suburbs too. You don't even have to go to the hood. I want you to drive around. I want you to keep track of how many boomers you see versus young people. Drive around for an hour and see how much of our population is older than dog shit and can't have kids. And then I want you to fucking get vetted because it's serious. I drive around a lot, and anyone watching this knows that I do, because I always send them VMs because I'm driving. We have a lot of problems, and I don't want people to get overwhelmed, but I do want them to take it seriously, because we can win. We have had, you know, worse situations. We have had, you know, like actual brutal plagues. We have had insane wars, and, you know, we started out, I mean, like, dude, like the Aryan, if you go into like the history of like the Aryan people and all that kind of stuff, there was not many of us, but we were badass. And we should go back to that. Like, you know, you can still be nice to people, but, you know, one of the things we do at ONN is like train MMA and, you know, lift and stuff like that. Like, and I know I was harping on like being actually political earlier and having like a political, you know, movement, but, you know, the MMA stuff, it really does help with a lot of the young guys' confidence. Like I've seen it work on them. And, you know, if you have the, if you can take a punch and give a punch, you can speak a lot more confident and you can speak, to people about these issues, because it isn't easy to talk to people about, because, you know, even if some people believe in this kind of stuff, they won't always admit it, which is super gay. If you're one of those people, fuck you, you're a pussy. Like just straight up. Like, I've had this happen several times at the gym where like, I'll meet somebody, like they might have the golden one. There was some guy with a golden one, bag. And I started talking to him. I was like, dude, that's the golden one. Like, you know what's up. And he was like, it's like, why did you get that?
Right.
Like, why did you bring that in public if you didn't want someone to engage with you? Like, it's a dog whistle for a reason.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to engage. And then when I engage with you, you act like a pussy and I'm not being a spur. I was just like, oh, yeah, the golden one. Yeah, that's cool, man. You know, whatever. And then I don't know. It's, people are weird. But yeah, the MMA stuff, it really does make people more confident. And we are, you know, inherently transgressive. And so you do need to be able to defend yourself. You know, that's another reason why we don't do super edgy stuff. Because if you're telling the truth, you are transgressive. You don't need to add anything on top of it. Yeah, I forget what his brand was, but they had one of his gym bags. I haven't watched that guy in like, I don't think I've watched him since like 2018 or something. But does he still have a YouTube channel?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Big one, 133K.
Oh, wow.
A big one, yeah.
Dude, cool. I remember when Keith Woods was Rex Imperator, and he had like 500 subs on YouTube. I remember. I guess he kind of... He's not what he used to be, apparently, but I haven't really kept up with him too much.
Yeah, I mean, he blew up, I guess, as they say, right? He got quite a following and made quite a few connections, for sure. Mm-hmm. So do you guys do like adventure stuff? You know, Ohio's a good place. It's got a lot of nature. It's got a lot of awesome, you know, environment stuff. What do you guys do? You guys go out there hunting, fishing, any of that stuff?
We'll do hikes and stuff like that. We should do a fishing trip. That'd be good. We don't do anything with guns. We don't
hunt
anything with guns, just because I just can't think of a time when guns and NS stuff has gone together and it's been like, that was cool.
Right. Smart.
You know, that's a good way to get informants and stuff like that. And we don't want that. So we don't deal with guns. You know, it's funny. I've had people that are like 3%ers be like, yeah, you guys are probably filled with feds. And it's like, you're a 3%er, dude. Like that's actually provable. Like,
right.
Wasn't your head guy informing? Maybe that was Proud Boys.
I think it was Proud Boys, but yeah. I know what you mean.
But like still, you know, it probably was the 3%ers too, which like, I don't know. I don't know. It's very strange. People's perception of things, you know, it's weird. But
it's very, very media coached, right? They get those impressions from that.
Yeah, it's like they can pick up that the media is owned by Jews, but they can't sniff out Jewish psyops. And it's very confusing to me.
It's sad. It's sad. I think they just don't really know how it works or why.
Like, it's like you're like halfway invested in this. And like, I don't know how to explain it. I don't have a good explanation for it, but.
No, that's okay. You don't have to. So when guys get vetted, they go to the vetting process, I suppose, a broadly, you know, OPSEC friendly sense. How does that go?
I wouldn't want to get into it.
Okay. Sure.
I just wouldn't, know, I guess it's going to be like, if you're a Spurg, you're not going to make it.
Good.
That's it. Dude, if I think you're a Spurg, or one of our guys thinks you're a Spurg, it's over for you. But,
nice.
You know, maybe, I don't know. I might, I'm not going to say that, but yeah.
That's okay. A Spurg-free environment is good because it actually means you get stuff done and you don't have ridiculous purity spirals over nonsense, and you don't have other, you know, bickering and fighting and other stupid stuff that doesn't have to happen. That distracts from the actual mission.
Yeah, dude, sometimes I get jealous of communists because they get useful idiots. And NS people, we don't get useful. There's no such thing as a useful idiot in NS. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. They're only a detriment. Like commies, they can get all these retards and they can just throw them at shit and it's effective for them. We can't do that. I have, whoever can like weaponize Spurgs in like a good way for the movement, like you will have the biggest house in Based World TM.
Right. I think there's a reason for that, though, right? Because the whole, like, NatSoc thing is so villainized and demonized by the mainstream that you have to kind of be a little bit of a rebel, you have to be a little bit of an independent thinker, you have to be able to investigate all this yourself, to even be interested, you know, much less, like, doing anything involved with it. So, like, you know, the people...
You have to have a really grating and contrarian personality.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We're contrarian magnets for sure.
Yeah. And it's like you need those people when it's when there's like this level of like psyop and media against you, but it's also like, fuck, you know, I'll tell the young guys, like, you know, don't read Siege. Don't read the Turner Diaries. You know, you need to read How to Make Friends and Influence People. And I know that book is, you know, corny and kind of lame. But, like, you guys need to learn to get along with people and to, like, I don't know. Like, the younger guys, they're very smart. And, I mean, honestly, the same thing goes with millennials to a certain extent. But, like, you need to be able to hold a conversation with people and, you know, learn how to share your ideas without being, like, overly abrasive or like submissive. Like sometimes I'll see people like engage with someone and then they'll see that person disagrees and then they'll just totally disengage. Like you don't need to do that. Like you're right. Like you are right. You have the moral high ground. They should be the one to disengage, not you. Yeah. That's kind of the contrarian grading side of things. But, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, you should always be trying to actually help your people and, you know, be good to people, even if they don't necessarily agree with you. Like, you will get more flies with honey than you will with vinegar. And it's important to remember that.
It's true. I think there's a thing that's happened here, starting from the millennials on down, where there's been a degradation of the natural social environments. You know, there are certain social scenes and environments that used to just be part of the average life in America, in Europe, in the modern world. And so much of that has either gone away altogether, been privatized, or been digitized. And now they are deprived of developing those social skills because they're not in those environments and in those contexts to engage in and do those interactions and develop those social skills. It's not their fault. It's just they never got the chance. It's sad, you know, and it's I don't know what the fix is on that one other than the proactive kind of thing you guys do. I don't know what else to do. You know, I think that's it. It's an uphill battle on that one just because, you know, the default now is this parallel digital world that sort of sits on top of the actual physical world. And now it's so easy to live in that one. It's so much less threatening.
Yeah. Reminder to follow us on MySpace.
You got a MySpace for real?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've made the joke like we should take back MySpace.
It's true.
Like that'd be really funny. Like if all the Nazis just got on MySpace at once.
Let me see. Is that still a thing? MySpace.
Yes. It's like a shitty music website.
Whoa.
It exists still. Yeah, it's like who even are these people?
Good question. I was like, what is this?
Who are any of these? I think I know one of these people.
That's the Grateful Dead dude. I don't know who this. That dude's from some kind of boomer band. I don't know who that is. So like boomer bands, the Rolling Stones. That's that old Jew. I don't like. There's a lot of boomer bands here. I didn't know it was. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't know what is still a thing.
That's disgusting. What a disgusting word.
Oh yeah, sextennial. What the fuck is a sextennial? I almost don't even want to know. Ew. Who's Robin with a Y? Is this some fucking tranny? I hope it's not a tranny. Sextentialist. Wait, what? They're just putting sex into words. Like they're just putting the word sex into other words. The fuck? Sexistential. Not existential. Sexistential. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. This is too much. Too much. I didn't know that was still a thing, but I guess I'm not surprised. I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Dude, we should take over MySpace. Can that be the next PSYOP? Like one of our PSYOP? Like we haven't had a good PSYOP since like 2019. Like 4chan used to actually be cool and we would do wild stuff and we haven't done anything like that. Like, let's take over MySpace.
Well, I don't know about MySpace, but I think we should have, like, why don't we have our own social media, like, properly? I know Flood tried to make one, but.
I don't know. Like, we have X. I don't know. I feel like when we make our own, it kind of actually becomes lame. Mm. Like, part of it is. Like, there's no point in, I don't know, you have to engage with people that are outside of the ideas to, like, yes. Like, we, I don't know, we have Telegram. We have Telegram. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Telegram is not MySpace. Like that's basically it. But, yes. I mean, we have ads. I don't know.
We have Gab, too, somebody said, which is true. Krieger88 said we had Gab, true.
Actually, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Gab, I've seen screenshots of Gab and it's like I don't know.
Well, it's Mastodon, right?
I want to like it, but it's like I don't know. And maybe it's just I haven't like paid attention to it since like 2019 or 2018. But yeah. I mean, I remember Post, mm-hmm. Post, which was like anime, like weeb, wig shit.
Spurghive.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like that was fun to kind of like fuck with people on and get into stupid arguments. But you end up just getting into stupid arguments. Like when we all get together online, I actually don't feel like it's super productive. That's just me. But I don't know. We have to have an outside force to kind of target our angst and contrarianness against, or we will just argue with ourselves. That's my. What the fuck is your dude? My cats are fucking pissed off at something.
Sometimes they just want your attention, you know? You just haven't given them some in a while. You're right, though. I mean, it's not very productive a lot of times. The arguments we get into with various retards on the internet. You know the inclination, right, to like get into these debates with like boomers or I don't know, just people that are just like outside of the worldview, and they say something, and you just need to correct them. But it doesn't actually produce anything, right? It's just
it happens to me. It happens to me too. It's not productive, but man, it's just like I can't, like, if there's a like a boomer on Facebook or something. And I have a sock account. Oh yeah, it's on. It's like I'll just be like, you're gonna die in like 5 years. Like you have 5 years left. Hey, I'm gonna mute for a minute.
Sure, no worries. So this is, let me show the video while he's taking care of the cat there. This is pretty cool. I like that. That's a cool motto they've got. 14 words, 88 counties. I do wonder if Ohio actually legit has 88 counties. I'll have to ask him that. I'm not sure. I was talking about this with him. This is a really well-made little promotional video they have. Check this one out.
We came to wreck everything and ruin your life. We came to wreck everything.
That's a pretty cool video. I like that. I did realize though that I have old flood video lower third information, so that's no good. It's been up there the whole time. Side of that. Fix that. There we go. Telegram. That like t.me/. And then this would be email. I get there. Had the wrong one, guys. All right, let me go ahead and start getting into some of these things here. Let me see. Have their Twitter X as well here. Perfect. Okay, there we go. Really cool logo, by the way. Really cool logo.
Okay. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, that was maybe one of the guys. He's really good with the like audio visual stuff. Yeah, I think my cat was like having like a stomach ache or something. He'll like growl like he's angry and then shit all over the place. So
jeez. You ever feed them those like those little strip things? It's like a little like strip thing. You push it up. It's almost like a popsicle. We call them push pops. It's like a popsicle, but it's...
they don't eat anything. Like they don't eat human food or like snacks or anything like that. They just eat like cat food.
I don't know. I mean, it's like, a cat treat. It's like a sleeve, but it's like a taste of cat treat. But it's like it's meat.
I don't think that. I think my wife's given them those. I don't. Know if they actually, I don't know, they're very picky. Ours are very picky, but yeah, we do actually have 88 counties.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool.
It's very funny. But yeah, we also, so like one of the reasons I focus so hard on like local stuff is because we have like the population, I think, of the Czech Republic and about the same landmass as the Czech Republic. I may be confusing that with like one of the other Balkan countries, but we have enough people to where we could be our own country, especially with like the economy that Ohio has. Ohio actually has an insanely high economy. There's a lot of important stuff that happens there. So we have plenty of people to work on and you know, red pill, so to speak. I hate that fucking word, but yeah. You know, we have plenty of people to bring to our ideas, you know, right next door. You know, we don't need to travel to, you know, another state, you know, 10, 15 hours away to do a demonstration. Not that that isn't always called for. You know, I won't completely counter signal that, but you know, on a regular basis, I think it's, you know, I think it's really important to focus on the local stuff. You know, I think it would be much more productive to have like, let's say if we had three guys in every. And like, they're all that I froze. Everything's frozen on my end.
Yeah, you froze for a second. I was seeing if I could reduce the resolution here. Let's see if that frees it up. I'm trying to see if I can fix it a little bit.
I'm already like five pixels.
Okay. All right, it's good. It should be all right. It should be getting better. Now it's working again.
Was I muted?
No. He just froze for like a few seconds, but it's okay.
Okay.
Please continue.
All right.
So I
I almost forgot where I was going.
Local. Like, you're very local. You don't need to
go. If you had three guys in every county in your state, and you know, let's say every other week they did a banner drop with like stop white replacement, you know, I don't insert slogan here, you know, fuck Jews, bottom text, you know, across a bridge, you know, you will raise the consciousness doing that. And you get to piss libtards off. So, you know, if you had people doing that constantly, you would get more people. And the more people you get, the more people you get. And the more people you get, the more people you get. And so on and so forth. And so, you know, it doesn't take a lot of people. Like, every single person in this thing matters. Every single one of you matters. It's crazy. Three people in one county. That's all it would take to start a cascade of NS in our country. In our state. I mean, hell, maybe it could start a cascade in our whole country. I think Ohio could absolutely be a springboard for the rest of the country. But like, and I mean, that's just banner drops. Imagine, you know, how many demonstrations you could have, or just handing out flyers and talking to people. That's one thing we do as well, is just talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine how many people I could bring in. Like, if I could just go full time and like not have to work, geez, dude, the first thing I'd do, I would wake up at 5:30. I'm not getting up at 5, but 5:30, go to my local gas stations and just hand out flyers to all the guys who are working construction, working landscaping, who aren't Mexican. Sorry, Guatemalan. Mexicans have graduated from roofing, or to roofing, from landscaping. So that's all Guatemalans now. Mexicans only fuck with landscaping, unless they own the company. But whatever. But if I could hang out at a gas station for 4 hours in the morning and just hand people flyers, we'd have 1,000 people in a fucking month. Because I can't tell you how many times I've stopped at a gas station and just start a conversation with someone, and then they start going on about Jews to me. And it's just like, where are you people coming from? Like, how did you hear them? Is it like Instagram? It's okay.
Wow.
Okay. But, which I can't make an Instagram to save my life. They IP banned my ass. But,
that's interesting. Because I'm like hard banned from Facebook. I cannot make a sock account. It won't stay up. They catch it every time. But Instagram.
Facebook is wild now. It's really crazy. Facebook's crazy now. Yeah, I was finally able to make a sock account. Fucking dude, it's crazy. People are just like Hitler posting on there now. Kenny KO is all over. And dude, I remember when he was doing like Natty or Not shit, and those were always funny. And I would see people comment occasionally on like, Kenny, like six million. And I guess he started looking into it because he's gone full blown, NS. I'm here for it. You know, I'm not going to counter signal, getting involved outside of Jews. Like, yeah, like everyone outside of Jews, it's like, okay, like, yeah, you can have this in your own country. Like that. Actually, you know what? Actually, yeah, you know, no, NS is actually for just for us. They can make their own thing in their own country. But, yeah, Jews trying to get involved with any of this kind of stuff is always a red flag.
Yeah.
Kenny KO, like, that's awesome. Like, some of his fans are going to be, like, absolute retards. But, like, you need your dumb bodybuilding people, you know?
Oh, yeah, this dude. Yeah, Kenny K.O., there we go. This guy. Froze up.
Yeah, but he's thousands and thousands of people are seeing that. And I know, like, he's not going to have, like, super awesome content that's, like, very thought-provoking or anything like that. But it's still helpful, you know?
Yeah.
I would love for, Mark Collette and, like, Warren Baylog to have as much access to, like, the mainstream stuff as, you know, some of these other guys. But, you know, it's just sometimes we got to take what we can get.
Right.
You know, especially Mark. Mark is a very charming guy. Mark is like, how can, like, you hate Mark Collette? Like, are you Jewish? Like, very, like, how do you hate Mark? But
I know what you mean, but there's some guys like that where they're very, very likable, and it's almost hard to imagine how anyone would even ever dislike or hate them. But, you know, surprisingly, and this is in and of itself kind of says something about the issue we have as a community on a whole. Like, I've never seen a personality in this that doesn't have haters somewhere. Everybody has haters. If you're doing something, anything, you got haters.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing anything of value, you'll always have that. So, I mean, it's okay. You know, I mean, I would expect, like, nons and, like, faggots to hate Mark. But, like, people on our own side that are just like, oh, I don't know. We have a tendency to nitpick and be really, have really high standards for people that, you know, we don't ourselves often meet. You know, I try not to be too judgmental with stuff. That's just me. Like, sometimes, like, you do need to use, like, discretion, but discretion is different than, like, oh, this person has, like, a slightly different opinion from me, or this person did something, when they were totally ignorant of the truth. I'm going to hold that against them forever. Like,
right.
Or I don't know. Like, people have flaws. People are messy, and you should generally give people second chances. I think that's just me. You know, now kind of rambling. So my apologies there.
No, it's true. I think we can probably wind down. I know you're tired. I'm a bit tired myself. I think I just want to kind of get in the last bit of this episode here. Like, where do you see your group going? You know, do you see you guys expanding? Do you see yourselves merging with other groups? Do you see yourselves taking a leading role, maybe a following role? Maybe just kind of illustrate it for me. You know, I'm thinking, like, if I was to join your group, what would I expect, I guess, in the next couple of years? Maybe a good way to ask it.
I mean, we're growing. I'll tell you that. Would we join another group? If I'm in Nova as well as ONN. We are separate entities. Like, Carson, Don, Reinhardt, they're all awesome guys. And, you know, they've never, like, told me what to do with ONN.
Mm.
Like, they've never, like, that's often a thing that will happen in the scene. Like, bigger groups will try and kind of push and nudge the smaller groups and poach members and stuff like that, but they've never done that with us. You know, we've voluntarily forwarded people to them because I really trust those guys. But, you know, Carson's never been like, hey Ben, we need you to do this or start doing this or do this kind of messaging. You know, that's never happened with us in Nova. Would we merge with another group? I don't think so. If I was like, okay, these guys know what's up. They're super competent. They're better than I am at leading by, like, leaps and bounds, and I really trust them. This is what we're gonna do. It would have to be really high quality shit. Like, it'd have to be like Thomas Sewell from NSN would have to, like, move to America. Like, that'd be the only thing. Like, if Thomas Sewell comes over to America, then, like, or sorry, here, but you know, that would be, like, the only instance I could think of. If someone was of that caliber, and, you know, that quality of character, dude, people don't know how good dude, Thomas Sowell was like, he was in the army. He tried to be a firefighter, and he was like helping like orphans. Like he was doing like mentoring orphans. Like the dude is an actual hero. Like he talked about that in an interview. I've never heard people talk about that. But like those are the people we need.
Yeah.
Those are the people we need. Like, dude, that guy is a hero. Like actually. And it's not because of it is because of his activism as well. But like that dude has a good heart. Like we have it is a spiritual war as well. Which, everyone has moral failings, but we have to really, whatever. I'm going to start rambling.
But no, I think you're right.
As far as the war goes, over the next 5 years, I mean, I want to, the goal is normalization. The goal is to normalize our viewpoints. The goal is to grow as much as possible with quality people. Maybe we will move into like a party direction. If no one else is doing it, maybe it has to be us. Nobody was going mask off. So it had to be us. Sometimes you got to be the tip of the spear. Sometimes someone else has to be. And that's always nice when you could kind of kick back but still help out. But sometimes you got to do what you have to do. And if we have to be the ones to, start a party, then cool.
So let me ask, when you propose that, the whole like going mask off thing, is that, that is a vanguard move at this point. What was the reaction of the guys initially? Was everybody for it? Was there dissenting voices? How'd that go?
There were definitely people that were concerned. And what I basically said was, well, no one who doesn't feel comfortable has to do it. It was all volunteer. Like if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. If you don't feel comfortable with it, you don't have to. It's all volunteer. So someone can join ONN, they don't have to be like mask off. They don't have to. I would encourage it if you're in a place where you can. Like if you have a job where no one gives a fuck, or you like own your own business where no one cares, and you're not in any danger of losing, you're not, Jews. If Jews can't weaponize the precarity of capital against you, give it a shot, man.
Yeah.
One, because it's fun. Like it's fun. Like it's a blast. We don't do, you're probably not going to catch us going to like big counter demonstrations until we have like superior numbers. So it's fairly low risk. There's always a risk, the guys in Blood Tribe, they didn't do anything wrong. And, those cops pulled guns on them. They broke no laws. There's always a risk to it, but if you think you can tank that, then, I think you should give it a shot. You've only got one life. You've got one opportunity to, give your middle finger to the Jews and to, like, frankly, Satan. Yeah. So yeah. You should do that. You only have one opportunity to do that.
Very true. I'm glad you brought up the Blood Tribe thing. I did have Hammer come on recently, and what they did was insane. Like they took all these crazy measures to make sure that these guys didn't get doxxed, down to wearing gloves so any hand tattoos would be hidden, and just like everything. And it didn't matter, because all they had to do was get stopped by the state, patrol or whatever it is highway patrol there in Arkansas. And they did that little slick trick of like having them all give me your name and address while recording it, and then leak it all, and that's it. Bada boom, bada bing. They're all now super doxxed. But, I think you're onto something there. Like, it's not post-Charlottesville. The threat of doxing is not what it used to be. It doesn't generally have much of an effect. Most people don't give a shit. Most employers don't give a shit. Unless you're a politician or you're, like, some very highfalutin, like really influential, you know, Fortune 500 kind of guy, like you said. Nah, I mean, it's not generally what happens. People don't generally seem to get fired as much as they used to. It doesn't really seem to have as much of an effect.
Yeah, I mean, like it could happen, but like, dude, the more people we have stand up, the more people we have stand up. It is what it is. You can't argue with it. And unfortunately, and it pains me to say this, there's nothing worse than when a boomer is right. And they are kind of right about, you know, if it is your conviction, why are you wearing it? Why are you wearing a mask? They're kind of right. I hate it. It stings. Hey, what's up, kitty cat?
No, it's true. I mean, I get why people do it. I get why people don't want to take the risk, and I get why. I mean, you're talking about, you know, people's income.
I don't mean that as an insult to anybody, because there are people that really do believe it, but they have families that they have to provide for, and that is the best that they can manage.
Right.
But like, we need more people to you know, be involved with this, and to, you know, speak for those people that can't speak without a mask or without having their job weaponized against them. So, you know, like I said, if you're one of those people, step up, man. Like your people need you. You know, I see a lot of people on Twitter, you know, these Aryan super soldiers. Dude, I see them on Twitter, like these Aryan super soldiers who bench like 500 pounds. And it's like, and I've met these people at gyms that I go to, and it's like, I'll try and get someone involved, and it's like, oh, like, dude, like, you're 6'3", I'm 5'9", you bench twice what I do. Why are you so, like, dude, you're not going to be the one that gets, like, knocked out. If anything happens, it's going to be me. Like, right. And I have guys that are, like, still smaller than me that are, like, what, 150? And they'll go mask off. They don't care. Like, it's not the size of your arms. It's the size of your heart. Like, that's what matters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it does matter, though. I mean, what you're saying about normalizing it is important. When they see people, and they see people representing these ideas, and they see them representing it well, it makes it safe for other people to do it. And like you were talking about, all these young women who are like these passive supporters, and they're just dying for an opportunity to be able to do this. And yet, they're not getting the social environment in which they can actually voice what they really think. So it's up to us to provide that for them. And I think part of that is what you're saying. It's going mask off and being able to say, okay, what I'm saying isn't weird. It's not evil. It's not bad. It's normal. And all these other normal people, they agree with me too. That is incredibly powerful. And the more we can do that, the better. I think that's a huge, huge benefit. I know sometimes people can't, but if you can, do it. I completely agree with that sentiment.
Yeah, man. It's now is the time. What better time than now?
Yeah, we were talking about earlier. I mean, the boomer clock is ticking, right? The boomers die off. What happens? I mean, the white percentage of America takes a fucking nosedive. It's going to be rough. Now's the time. Yeah. What do you think? We read super chats and call it a show. Don't sound good.
Sure. If I can give a shout out to some
please.
People.
Please. Yeah, let me full screen you.
You know, it's more just a shout out of like, you know, if you guys have an opportunity to write some political prisoners, do it. You know, shout out free Brandon Russell, free James Fields, free all our political prisoners, man. Free Joel Davis. He's still locked up as far as I know, and maybe I'm mistaken on that.
He is.
Yeah, free him, man. We have to stand up. Like, not everyone is good. Like, is going to be this perfect, like, paragon of our people. And when they get in trouble, there is a lack of solidarity. We really need to increase our solidarity. You know, write your political prisoners. I highly encourage everyone to do it. Free all of our guys, man. Free all of our political prisoners.
Is there still that thing? There used to be like a political prisoner, like a white political prisoner database thing. You know what I mean? Is that still a thing?
I don't know if it is. I don't know if it is still. I have done that myself. I wrote, I don't know if I should get into the details of that because they're in another country technically. So, you know what? I'll hold off. But it's an important thing to do and it does matter to them. And you know, one day it could be you, you know, you never know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I think the thing about that too, is when people are in that environment, they're stuck in the cage in the gulag, getting letters from people outside telling them that they still give a shit about them matters a lot. And it's, one of those things that boosts the morale and you know, helps them get through it. And, yeah, enough can't be said about how helpful that is. So, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think we should encourage it for sure. It is sad to see that when people go and get caught up in something, not only do they lose their lives, but a lot of times the support kind of just evaporates too. People forget, out of sight, out of mind. That is unfortunate for sure, and that needs to be fixed.
But yeah, we can do some super chats if you want to.
Sure. Let's see. So, Carson Hillgray, Hill Carson.
Hey,
there you go. I know Carson from, back in the NJP days. Hill Carson, he says, ONN is made up of sincere and serious people. Support them. I agree. By the way, before I even go on with that, the vetting stuff is here. Let me see if I can put it up on another way here. We had a couple different ways to do that. It is scrolling through the chats every 15 minutes. It reposts the links there, but pull it up on the screen here, too. There it is. Yeah, yeah. Okay, there it is.
Carson saying that right after I was, like, shitposting really hard in one of the – yeah. God, that's funny. Yeah. We are serious guys, I promise.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure. Wait, I could probably pull this up, actually, now that I think about it. Pull them up on the screen. That's kind of helpful, too.
Yeah, guys, just yeah, the best way to get into contact with us, if you're interested, is DM me on Twitter or DM me on Telegram. You could write that email. I've not had a whole lot of interaction with that email or people hitting it up that much. Like we get plenty of stuff through Telegram and Twitter, but I don't know if it's Tuda mail that like lags really bad. Cause I've had it happen where like, I'll check and check and check. And then I'll see something from like 3 weeks ago that someone sent. And, like we do get interaction there, but I don't know if Tuda mail is giving us shit or what. So I we may get a new email. So I would say just hit us up on Telegram or Twitter right now.
Cool. Yeah.
Not especially thrilled with Tuda mail at this point.
Okay. So, yeah, Telegram and Twitter also scrolling on the bottom there, t.me/ONN vetting. Go. I can actually strip the email out of there, actually.
You can leave it. I'll check it until we get a new one, but it just, I don't know, it's sporadic. Mm. Like they'll all come in and like at once, like, and say it's from like days or weeks before. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds unreliable, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Carson. Nice to see you, man. White Reaper says your whiteness level is impeccable, NNR. Thank you. Well, thank you, White Reaper. Yours as well, sir. Hell, White Reaper. Rocco D2 says 2% of the world is white birthing women. We need to start popping out babies and fast. Yeah, it's true. It's not a very big percentage. Not a very big percentage. It's true. Don't even want to look into all these things that are fertility harmers that come in the modern world. Don't even look into that. It'll just black pill the shit out of you. Don't do that. Just do what you can, you know. Do what you can. I think it's a two-part thing. You know, the hole needs to be plugged. The hole in the ship needs to be plugged, and we need to start trying to do what we can to add people back in, our people. Thank you, Rocco. I agree. Okay, let's see. Questions too. Rocco says, "Congrats to my AI model. It pays." He has a very successful sports betting AI model that works for him. So I'm not gonna counter signal it. He's a very generous show supporter. So if that helps him support what we do here, I'm not gonna counter signal it. And if it works for him, hey, you know, God bless your AI model. All right, let's see here. Flood. Thank you, Flood. It says, great guest. Very generously supported by Flood there.
Oh, thanks.
We're missing something. Rocco says, my Belgian Malinois just ate half my granny-style focaccia pizza. Rest is upside down on the ground. Well, that sucks, man.
RIP.
RIP pizza, man. That's
what you get for using AI. Dog, eat your fucking pizza.
That's right. It's punishment. Well, you can get another one, though, right? Like, you got all the betting money, so, you know, I mean, you can order another pizza, maybe. Just don't drink and drive. Let's see if I missed anything else here. I think that's it on that. So, I mean, I was just trying to think if I had anything else to add. You have anything else to add that we haven't covered?
Man, never black pill. Lose the fear, man. Like, I know there's a ton of people that will, you know, end up seeing this. If every single one of you gets involved, you will make a difference, and you will. None of it's in vain. You never know who's watching, and every single one of you matters. And maybe all of that sounds corny, but you know, when you're, I've been in it for a little bit, and that's what I've come to kind of learn, is that every single person in this matters. And that's why they fight so hard. That's why Jews fight so hard to keep you out. That's why they say everyone involved is a Fed. That's why they say every group's infiltrated with Antifa or Feds, because they don't want you to get organized. Every single one of you matters. And they know it. The Jews know it. So, you know, dude, just we got to start putting man hours into white power. It's our people's liberation. That's what we have to work towards.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I think, you know, that's true. If it didn't matter, they wouldn't spend so much time and energy and money and all of this trying to keep our people afraid to join. I mean, think about the fear.
They will shit their pants at like a group of 10 guys. They'll fucking write about it. And it's like, when I got doxxed, I was just like, I didn't think I was important enough to fucking have him give a shit about me. Like, we were just sparring in the park, man. Like, I didn't think anyone gave a shit. Apparently they do.
Right.
Apparently, like doing something that insignificant matters. So, like the bar, the threshold is really low. Like there's just... You have everything to lose by not getting involved. Like, literally everything, your whole future. Like, and everyone, and I know the thing is like, well, what is your little group going to do for like the future of the world? Well, it's like, it's a little group because you're not involved. At the end of the day, I don't know how many people are watching this. I don't know how many people get engaged generally on these kind of things. I was on Zach Logos' stream, and I apparently there's a good amount of people watching. I had no idea. But if every single one of you gets involved, and that could be five, it could be five people, it would matter. It would matter tremendously. And I genuinely don't think people understand that.
We got about
could make a massive difference, especially in a local area.
Yeah, I mean, we got about somewhere between 200 and 500 live.
So, oh wow!
Yeah, and there more people will see the replay. So, the word will get out. If you're in Ohio, check it out. You know, like I think your message about the superiority and importance of the locality in this is really something that a lot of people don't speak to enough, because that is absolutely the thing. You know, it's one thing to want to have like this national party that deals with the entire United States. People that want that, they'll forget just how fucking massive the United States is and how easily washed out everything gets when you're trying to deal with a group that's trying to encompass this 5,000 miles. And it's crazy. You can do so much more in just dealing with your local area, state.
And, you know, if someone's like over the border in like Kentucky, like right over the border, or West Virginia or Michigan or Indiana, we'll work with you on that. But, you know, people, if you're not in any of those regions, I recommend, joining NOVA. And, if you're in Texas, I don't have a recommendation for Texas at this moment, because they're the group that I was going to mention is no longer, they're in like a weird flux state right now, and I don't want to forward people to them if they can't handle it, I guess. But if you're in the Midwest, Midwest Action is a really cool group. I've talked with those guys. They're pretty solid if you're out in like anywhere west of Ohio. Give them a shot if you're looking to get active. And they do mask on stuff. So, you know, if you don't want to get ducks, rock with them.
Midwest Action. Oh, there we go. Is this the right one? Okay, yep. Cool. Yeah.
NOVA, Midwest Action. There's some other groups I'm forgetting. I'm fried. I'm sorry, guys. All my guys out there that I'm forgetting right now. I'm sorry. But
there's NOVA. NOVA as well. Midwest Action.
I think some faggot on Reddit made their banner.
Like really?
They made a collage. I don't know if that's the one. I don't know if that's the one. But someone on Reddit made an awesome collage of all the stuff that NOVA did. And I think they ended up posting it. Like, hey, thanks. But, I love our banner. I love that. If you've ever driven through Ohio from like Cincinnati to Columbus, that is a real billboard. That's the hell is real sign, if you know what I'm talking about. But that's it.
That's pretty cool. It's very local, you know, speaks to the absolutely. That's cool. Well, I really appreciate it. I appreciate you coming on. It's a good discussion. Thank you. Nice to meet you, Ben. And I would say to anybody else who's in the area, consider it, man. Reach out to them. You got those things scrolling down there. That's ways to reach out. Reach out on the Twitter. Reach out on the Telegram. You have to email. Man, get involved. Thank you for coming on, Ben. I appreciate you. And I hope you wish you the best of success, man.
All
right. Take care. Good night.
Hail.
Let me go ahead and switch to solo mode here for a minute. I'll do some quick thank yous and we'll get out of here. Right, let me do that. Solo mode is somewhere.
Should I mute?
Oh, yeah. No worries. I'll mute you. Thank you. Good night, Ben. Here, I'll switch over. Oh, man. Look, I'm off center and everything. Boop, boop, boop. All right. Very quickly. Yeah. So there is the contact there for Ohio Nationalist Network. Check them out. I'll put that back up too. All right. All right. So I just wanted to do thank yous here on the way out. Rocco also said, is that cut off? Okay. This way. He says, I'm going to post every updated model on your TG. Do with it as you please. He means his betting system. Well, I don't know if I will, though, honestly, because I'm not really, I don't follow sports nearly as much as you do. So I'd probably get wrecked if I did. So all the same, I appreciate it either way. So thank you, Rocco. Hail Rocco D2. Let me go back through and do thank yous, though. Rocco D2, thank you, sir. Kirby. He didn't say nothing. He just gave a salute. Hail Kermy. Rocco again. Thank you, Rocco. Back up. Big shout out to Flood. I think Flood's the winner tonight. Thank you, Flood. Hail Flood. Follow Flood at OMG. It's Flood on Twitter. Find all the stuff from there. Rocco again. Hail Rocco. I hope he gets another pizza. I hope he can repair that pizza loss. I mean, it's pretty devastating. And, I mean, you know, you sit down, you're ready to have a nice pizza after a victory day, and dog fucked it up, man. Dog ripped into his pizza. It's not right. Hail Rocco. Rocco. White Reaper. Hail White Reaper. And hail Carson for getting us started there tonight. And, yeah, Carson, good fellow. We'll have to have him back on soon, too. And Nova Now. He's in Nova Now, too. So there's two good options for you, especially if you're in the area. Ohio Nationalist Network, NovaNow.org, Midwest Action. Some good options. Get involved, something, pick something, and we'll see you soon. See you soon. Dagtastic. Hell, Dagtastic. With that, F's in chat for his pizza. F's in chat for our guy's pizza. It's not right. You know? It's serious losses, but all the same, you know, it'll be another day, another pizza, I guess, after the dog gets scolded or whatever. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? All right. With that, I think we're going to call it. Good night, everybody. Have a good weekend. We'll see you all on Sunday or Monday. And from there, another week of shows. Good night, everybody. Lots more coming up. See you soon. Good night. Good night. Good night. Thanks again to Ben of the Ohio Nationals Network for coming on. Shout out to them. Good night, everybody. Good night. We'll see you soon.
Let's talk about books for a moment. One of the most impactful ways you can support this show while expanding your own knowledge is by checking out our publishing sponsors. We've partnered with three exceptional publishers who share our commitment to bringing you literature that goes above and beyond the mainstream. Banned by Amazon, Antelope Hill Publishing, and Clemens and Blair. Each of these publishers offers a unique catalog of books, media, and materials that you simply won't find in traditional bookstores. Whether you're looking for historical perspectives, alternative viewpoints, or rare literary works, these sponsors might have what you need. Here's the best part. All three are offering our listeners a discount. Just visit bannedbyamazon.com, antelopehillpublishing.com, or clemensandblair.com and use code NNR at checkout. That's NNR for a discount on your order.
One truth can break a foundation, as though it were made of glass. One truth can create a new vision, a future not haunted by.
Welcome to Night Nation Review. Nightly at 10 p.m. Available only at nightnation.live.